Always enjoy being able to worship with you here. I want to pay special tribute this morning to two groups of volunteers in this church that are just doing a great job. One is your worship team and the time they put in it and the faithfulness and the commitment of that team. I think you ought to applaud them. They do a phenomenal job. And the other volunteers are your audiovisual people that faithfully work the things and make things happen here. You've got some great volunteers in this church. Over the past months, we've had the privilege of being able to travel and learn more about the people and the cultures of Australia, New Zealand, Fiji. And coming back to this country, though, we're so aware that we are a unique country. We've been very blessed. And this weekend, we celebrate particularly the fact that we have been blessed with freedoms like no other people in the world. And we're cognizant of the fact that those freedoms did not come free. So many tens of thousands of young people lost their lives in the course of defending our freedom and the freedoms of other people around the world. And so we pause in this time this weekend to simply thank God for the sacrifices that have been made on our behalf that we might be free. Let's take just a moment to thank God for that. And now this morning I want to share with you a message that I hope will grab your heart and cause you to maybe think a little differently as you leave this place and perhaps act a little differently as a result of this. Life, we've learned, is very uncertain. We talked about the tens of thousands of young people who have served our country whose lives have been cut short, who have not lived a full and complete life because they laid down their lives for our country and our freedoms. So many others who are living lives that have had to adjust to disabilities and losses of limbs and other problems. Freedom has not been free, and life is never certain. All of us have come to experience the loss of others in our families, our friends, whose lives have suddenly been cut short, many of those unexpectedly, sometimes through traffic accidents, sometimes through catastrophic illnesses, things that have happened that were not expected, but they came to suddenly grip us and remind us of our mortality, to be reminded of the fact that life is not certain. And in most cases, we have no advance warning that life is going to end. But sooner or later, time does run out, and our days do end. Our text this morning, if you'd like to turn with that this morning with me, it's found in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter. And in 2 Kings, we read this very interesting story. In the days of Hezekiah, in those days, he became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you're going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he prayed to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer, and I've seen your tears, and I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake, for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, prepare a poultice of figs. They did so and applied it to the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah had asked Isaiah, what will be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I will go up to the temple of the Lord in the third day from now? And Isaiah answered, this is the Lord's sign to you, that the Lord will do what he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps, or shall it go back 10 steps? Well, it's a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps, said Hezekiah. Rather, have it go back 10 steps. Then the prophet Isaiah called upon the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back the 10 steps that had gone down in the stairway of Ahaz. I want this morning for us to take a look at the fact that God gave this man uniquely a 15-year reprieve. When God sent his prophet Isaiah to talk to this man and tell him that his illness was terminal, he was going to die, Hezekiah's reaction to that warning was probably like a lot of ours would be. He wasn't ready to die yet. For one thing, he had no heir yet to the throne. And that panicked him. There was no one to succeed him. It took him a couple of years, but the fact of the matter is he did raise up an heir. And when that son took over the throne and began to reign 15 years later, we're told that he was only 12 years old. But like many of us, Hezekiah's mind was filled with all kinds of plans for the future. Things that wouldn't be able to be accomplished in just a day or two, but things that would require many years, perhaps, to fulfill. As he thought it out and thought forward, Hezekiah realized it was going to take him a while, and God allowed him 15 more years to accomplish what he believed needed to be done. I would ask you this morning, what do you still need to do in your lifetime? What still needs to be done? How much time do you need to get those things done? Now, I want to differentiate here this morning because there is a difference between needing to do certain things and wanting to do things. We've all heard about the bucket list of things that you may want to do before you die. But I want you to think back about the fact that most of the things on our bucket lists are things that would pleasure us, things we would get a thrill out of, things that we would enjoy doing. But I want you to think and cut through all of that and come back and ask yourself, what do I really need to be doing in my life? Recognizing that I am a child of God, recognizing that God has put me here on this earth for a purpose, that I am considered one of his ministers and an ambassador of Christ, what things are really important on God's agenda compared to my bucket list of things that I'd like to do? When I stand before God and his throne, what things are still left undone that God expects me to accomplish? I can't answer that for you, any one of you, because each one of you is unique. God has given each of you certain abilities and talents. God has given each of you certain relationships and opportunities. And each of you has probably a different agenda than I have in my life that God would have for me to do. But I want you to pause this morning and just ask yourself, if God were to come to you or send His prophet to you today and say, George or Bill or Sally or Susie, you're going to die. Put your house in order. You're not going to be able to continue to live. What would be most important for you to do today and begin to do now? So Hezekiah pleaded for God to give him more time, and God gave him a 15-year reprieve. I think it's interesting, though, as we look at this story, to note the basis for the reprieve that he pled for and that he was given. What did he tell God? He prayed fervently. God, remember my faithfulness, what I have done to accomplish your purposes. Hezekiah actually had a very enviable record that he was able to stand on, that he was able to plead his case before God. Most of you know that, most of you know that most of the kings had not had a very good record. In fact, many of them had ignored God. They had ignored God's word. And they had even led that nation time and again into idolatry. They had not been faithful to God, and they had not put God's business and God's purposes as priorities in any way in their lives. In fact, the prophets, who were kind of God's prosecuting attorneys, would come and talk to the kings and tell them how it was. And many times the prophets were persecuted, and sometimes the prophets were killed because they didn't want to listen to God. But Hezekiah had been different. Hezekiah had purified and repaired and rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem. He had also successfully defended the people and his nation against the oppressors. And there are many public works projects that could be pointed out and said, these happened in the days of Hezekiah. He had built many beneficial projects for his people. But most important, he had faithfully served God as the king, as the leader of his people. And so I think it's impressive that Hezekiah was able to pray to God and appeal to God and say, God, look at what I've done with my time. God, can you give me some more time to let me take care of the things that still need to be done? Well, God did hear him. But unlike so many other appeals that I've heard when people suddenly realize they may die, they may not be able to go on to live, most of those appeals have been based upon the fact that they've wasted so much time. And they've had so many opportunities that have come to do God's work and God's will in their lives, but they've let them pass. And so the appeals have so often been, instead of like Hezekiah's, not upon the basis of his faithfulness to God, but upon our unfaithfulness, saying, God, I know I've wasted time. Can you give me some more to get it right? Note the contrast. Like perennial losers, the basis for their appeal has been not their faithfulness, but their unfaithfulness. Well, God favorably heard Hezekiah's prayer and his appeal, and he granted his request. It's interesting, though, you know, as you look back through the Old Testament, there's one word in Hebrew that occurs more often than any other word in the Bible. Do you know what it is? It's the Hebrew word hesed. And that word means faithful. Who does it usually apply to? God. God is faithful. If God says it, it happens. If God promises it, you can expect it to happen. And yet, look at this man who had faithfully served his life as king. He asks for God's help, and God gives him a promise through the prophet Isaiah. And what does he do? He asks for a sign. What will be the sign that God's going to keep his word? Why do we continually have to ask signs and be prompted to do God's will when we know what God has said, when we know that God is faithful and God is expecting us to act upon his word? And yet, even Hezekiah is asking, what will be the sign that God's going to keep his word this time, when God always keeps his word? Sometimes our request for signs is just another excuse for delaying action. But in this case, God went along with him, and the prophet said, well, what would you prefer? Would you prefer to have the shadow and the sundial advance forward or backwards? And Hezekiah says, well, it's going to go forward regardless, so let's have it work backwards and see if that will be the sign. And so God said, yes, the shadow moved back 12 steps. It was a sign that God indeed would fulfill his promise. Hezekiah did not give us a very good example, though, from that point on. Because we go on and we read the fact that while he did raise up an heir in that additional time, he also did some rather foolish things that stemmed out of his pride, his personal pride. He had some visitors from Babylon. And if you know anything about the Babylonians were conquering the world. But they came to see Hezekiah. And Hezekiah wanted to impress them. And so what he did was to show them all of the wealth that he had in the kingdom, even the beautiful gold and silver service ornaments and vessels in the temple. And his pride caused him to do some very, very foolish things. Well, he was admonished by God about this. The prophet came and asked him, why did you do this? Why did you show these Babylonians, when you know they're out conquering the world, this was an invitation for them to come in and conquer your country as well? And what was Hezekiah's response? Well, it's not going to happen until I'm gone. And so many times, isn't that our reaction too to things? We just kind of slough it off. Well, it won't happen until after I'm gone. And we don't accept responsibility for our own actions. This was a stupid thing he did. All about his foolish pride and trying to show off to these world power representatives. But it was a very foolish thing that cost his country. And if you know the rest of the story, the Babylonians came in and destroyed everything and took everything, demolished the temple, and desecrated it all. All because of Hezekiah's pride. Well, his record was not unlike others who have pleaded and promised God some things. But then, after we've promised God these things, and many times made deathbed bargains with God, then during God's reprieve, instead of attending to the business and being faithful to God as He has been faithful to us, we've wound up responding with unfaithfulness on our parts. And so many times, our selfishness and our concerns outweigh the solemn promises that we've made to God. And we wind up procrastinating doing the things that we ask for more time to do. And they still remain undone. The most important thing in life, the most important business of life, in fact, is not our making of a living. It's not getting a secure amount in the bank. It's not doing a whole lot of other things that we may total up as being important in our lives. It's the profitable use of the time that God has given us. Every day is a stewardship. Every day, God is requiring accountability for the time that He has given us as a gift in this life. And the fact of the matter is that the only time we can count on is right now, today. None of you know that you're going to have a tomorrow. Your life could be cut off by the next driver that T-bones you in the intersection today. It can happen. It does happen. We don't know. And so I challenge you that this is a wake-up message today. To wake you up to the fact that there are some things that you probably need to do today. To begin working on that agenda of the things that really still need to be done in your life. Not the bucket list of things you'd like to do, but the things that really do need to be done. We tend, don't we, to take time and we do the easy things and the things that are fun and procrastinate the things that are harder, the things that really need to be done. But now is the time that God has given us. And now is the time, right now, to begin doing the most important thing, and that's to begin to make peace with our God so that we stand, when we stand before Him in eternity, we have taken care of the most important things in life. Now is the time that we need to commit the remainder of our days that we have to the Lord. I don't know how long your life will be. Neither do you. Hezekiah was given 15 more years. I don't know that I'll have 15 more years. But I do know that I have today. And so today, I will commit to do my best to use the time that God has given me to best to accomplish the things that I believe are most important in my life. What about you? May this be the wake-up call for you this morning to realize that God does have a purpose for your being here. God will hold you accountable. And God does ask you today to begin today to tend to those most important needs that He has placed there and the opportunities at your doorstep. Let's pray. Father, we're reminded by this story of this Old Testament king that there are some things that are most important in life that sometimes just get shoved to the sidelines in our thinking. We get caught up with friends and family and work and all the other things that people are pushing us to do and accomplish. And it seems that the last voice we hear is your voice, calling us to be faithful, to be productive, to share our faith, and to help your share your message in a world that is filled with darkness and sin and needs to find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And so help us at this time today, at this juncture in our lives, on this weekend that we honor our freedom, to remember that even more valuable than our political freedom is our freedom from sin that was purchased on the cross. And that with that freedom comes a responsibility to share that message that others may be free as well. And so help us today in our encounters with others to somehow live and speak and act in such a way that your message and your light might be seen in us and through us, that other lives may be changed. Help us today to focus upon that which is most important in our lives today and for the remainder of the time that you give us. To this end, we commit ourselves today, Father. We ask your strength, your guidance, your help, and your blessing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning, and thank you for letting me share with you this morning. I hope that the message will help and strengthen you in some way. Thank you. The service is dismissed.